Welcome to the Light Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers, YouTube, you know the deal. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian, and I'm going to turn the camera around because there's so many beautiful people in the studio. I am just, nobody wants the camera on me. There's one right there. As always, everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Six.
Good evening. We're here with two fabulous guests.
We are. One is a longtime friend of yours that you haven't seen in a long time, and one is a longtime friend of mine that I haven't seen in a long time.
Nice.
Matter of fact, your friend was it's been so long since you've seen him, he forgot that you actually met. And here he is. I saw him last night at the Whiskey A Go-Go.
Oh.
Very good singer, songwriter, guitar player. I didn't know he was such a shredder, Nicole. You could have told me about this. he's all over the place. He's in Hollywood, and he's going to actually do some songs for us, and I'm really excited about that. It's J.D. Nash.
Hello. Thank you.
Hi, J.D. How are you?
Good. How are you?
It's good. This is going to be an unusual show. We're going to talk about some strange things because you were described to me as a country singer, and I know there's a country influence, and you do Johnny Cash songs, but that's not the only influence.
I actually used to play in metal bands, like hardcore bands and punk bands. That's why the whole shredding thing, that's where that comes from.
Right.
And I got tired of screaming at everybody, and I got into Dashboard, like a lot of us did, and wanted to do my own solo thing. And then I incorporate the kind of palm muting thing like I did last night that you saw.
So. Right.
But when I sing, it just comes out as kind of a drawl because I'm from Colorado.
Nice.
So I love the hat.
Well, that makes three of us. We're going to get to that.
Okay.
And J.D., because you were described as a country singer, and I didn't know I knew so many people who love country, but I put it on Facebook. But I know somebody I just thought of instantly who loves country, and she's right there. You have been on the show for 4 years, five years,
and
you've changed your name and you've changed things that you're doing. You're still modeling, but you got other things going on, and you've moved on. And
yeah,
it's
Amanda
Collins, formerly Alabama Valentine.
That's correct. Alabama Valentine was a stage name that I picked just because I wanted to try some pinup photography about 8 years ago, and that kind of ran its course. And I decided I had such a decent following that I changed it back to just my legal name, Amanda Christine.
Right.
777 is my Instagram, but it's Amanda Christine Collins.
So yes.
This is me.
Well, that's great.
And I do a lot of country music promotion for different festivals and different venues.
So we might get you a gig like today, that. J.D.
Sure.
I do love the Whiskey A Go-Go. I use the Whiskey A Go-Go a lot. It sounds a little bit odd during my first year of recovery. They had O'Doul's, which was the number one draw. But two, when I first got sober, my brain was pretty sensitive, and so I needed heavy metal in order for my brain to sort of bounce back a little bit. So I would go to Whiskey A Go-Go, bands I never heard of, and just rock out to metal for 4 hours, drinking O'Doul's, and that was part of my first year of recovery, so it was amazing.
Well, there you go. Metal and O'Doul's.
That's right.
Got you. we got you something that is a delicious sober drink, and there it is. Ray, well, yeah, I'll have you do the modeling this
time.
Ray's Energy Drink. That is our sponsor, one of our sponsors, and that is the Baja Lime flavor. It tastes like Baja Blast from Taco Bell. But
that's what it tastes. Oh, my gosh. Crazy.
You got it. And better than that.
It's better than that, I think.
Because zero calories, zero carbs,
right?
Zero crash.
No sugar.
I
love it. So good. And electrolytes. It has hydration.
It's got everything. So you can get them at GNC's or Vitamin Shops. Why wait? Why pay full price? Just use our code in the podcast description.
There you go.
And also in YouTube, our description there, and get 15% off a case of Ray's Energy Drinks. So we're going to start with this, Nicole.
Okay.
How did you meet JD?
JD used to have a weekly gig at the Rainbow when I worked there.
Right.
And so I took over booking the bands, and we still had him on there for like at least 3 months in the beginning. And then the Rainbow went a different direction and like got Nightmare Nick and a whole bunch of other stuff involved. But he was always there. He was just a staple of the Rainbow. Like, he had a residency that lasted a really long time, didn't it?
Yeah.
How long?
Amazing. Oh. It was at least a year.
At least a year,
yeah.
But you were telling me that, you said you grew up in Colorado?
Yeah, I was born in Denver, grew up in Colorado Springs. My whole family was Air Force, so we went from Colorado to Virginia.
Did you know that, Nicole? Because you're from Colorado.
I
didn't know that.
Okay. Because I'm from Colorado, and Mark is.
Oh, really?
Are you from Colorado, or did you just?
I lived in Loveland for a while, and I lived in Denver for a while. Westminster.
Right on.
We both live in Westminster.
Okay, Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
So the thing about Colorado Springs for our listeners and viewers is that Colorado's a really big place. And so Colorado Springs is kind of down here.
Some would say it's an entire state.
but I mean, even as far as states go, it's a big one. And so down in the bottom of Colorado is where Colorado Springs is. It's about 2 hours away from Denver. So it's kind of like San Diego.
Right. Except I was in San Diego this weekend. It takes 4 hours to drive now. But it should take 2 hours. But yeah. So you were an Air Force kid.
The whole family's Air Force on my mom's side. And I was approached in school.
From your mom's side?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What'd your dad do?
Dad's a car dealer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like fleet manager type of thing. So a lot of my childhood was spent in like car dealership lobbies waiting for him.
Well, that's exciting. Oh, you can go watch your mother fly a plane, or you can go to the car dealership and watch your dad try to sell cars.
And the big staple back in the day was I loved the Broncos back in the day.
Of course.
And I met John Elway at a men's warehouse.
Oh,
and that
was
like the coolest thing ever.
Right.
Yeah. And now he's a car dealership.
No, yeah, if you go to Denver, so many Elway car dealerships.
Really?
It's not. Oh yeah, as I went to Denver a few years ago, and it's like every.
I want to say it's Toyota. I'm not sure.
On every corner there's an Elway dealership.
Smart man.
Yeah. So when did you move to Arizona?
My parents got divorced. He was a Air Force colonel, mm-hmm. and used to fly F-111s. And he retired. We went to Virginia and then Arizona for Motorola when he retired from the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
And then was there for a long time and always wanted to come out here and go to Six Flags and Universal with my, Arizona friends.
Sure.
And then a breakup happened and found myself single. And I said, I'm just going to go play shows in Cali. And if it doesn't work, I can go back to Arizona as a CNA, a nurse assistant.
And, is that what you were doing?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I've been doing that since 99. One of my friends, Mike, from Mountain View High School in Arizona, came all the way out here. He lives in San Diego now, but mm-hmm. he's my friend from high school.
Well, you got to tell me, because being a nurse's assistant, you had to see some medical oddities. There's got to be something.
Yeah.
Somebody stuck something up their butt. You got a story. I know you do. You forgot what it's like to be on the show, Amanda. Yes. You forgot what I'm like. What was the weirdest medical oddity that you saw as a nurse's assistant?
Oh my gosh. There was it was mostly a lot of the elderly's
right.
Mark, and so it was more like just kind of overwhelmed with trying to take care of 12 different patients.
It's tough. Hours, yeah.
I got burned out, and now I do private care, just one-on-one, so I can focus on just helping one person because.
That's good.
A lot of politics in those retirement homes.
No, I know. But you were telling us out in the lobby that Arizona got pretty wild.
Yeah.
They want to be Californians in Arizona.
Yeah,
apparently.
They would always brag about coming out here and going back, and even though it's not much of a far drive, but all our Motley Crue friends and all them, we go to the bar and do our thing and.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of got old really fast because I wasn't the best drinker, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'd be the first one to want to go home and play Guitar Hero or practice or something.
I was the same way. I still am the same way. I don't want to sit there and just go get smashed all night.
My friends would make fun of me because I wanted like the girly drinks because I wanted something that tasted good. And they'd be like, dude, get Jaeger. I'm like, you don't want me to get sick. So
you want a white Russian or a root beer float. Those are delicious.
About not having tattoos. When you have tattoos, they try to make you all tough and think because you have tattoos makes you tough. Does not at all.
That's actually, since I am such an edgy character as I write horror stories and stuff like that, I agreed to myself that I would get flowers as my tattoos so they would be more sensitive, because if I had all that gothic shit all over me, which is what I love that stuff, then it would just be like a little too edgy. Then people would be wondering when I'd start riding a motorcycle or something.
And when are you going to start riding a motorcycle?
Never. They scare the crap out of me.
But
I'm with you, and I love Sons of Anarchy. It's one of my favorite shows.
Right.
It's like one of those, like, I'm too much of a wuss to get a bike.
Yeah. I've ridden on the backs of a few, and I always feel like I'm going to fall off. I'm always terrified.
Right.
Yeah.
Amanda, have you ridden on bikes and motorcycles? I would imagine you have.
I have. I don't like being on the back of a motorcycle.
Right.
But I have ridden on one, a pretty mm-hmm. fast one. My ex-husband, who has since passed, but he raced motorcycles.
Did he pass from a motorcycle accident?
No, unfortunately, an overdose.
Well, I thought maybe you were married to Treat Williams or something.
Yeah,
I
didn't know an accidental overdose. Okay. No, but he did get in a huge motorcycle accident racing and had a big keloid scar on his shoulder when I met him. And,
hot.
So, yeah, sexy.
Scars are hot.
The scars are hot. They are.
Yeah.
Just dig them, right?
So you got tattoos, you got to get scars.
But my favorite thing is I learned how to ride a motorcycle myself in the sand up in Pismo Beach, a dirt bike, had a paddle on the back so you can go through the sand.
Right. Yeah, you're not dealing with the Hell's Angels in this studio, so we have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not Hell's Angels. It's in the sand. And
yeah, you're pedaling in the sand. No, I understand. It's a dirt bike. I got it.
It's a dirt bike.
It's a dirt bike.
It's on the ocean.
So how I met Amanda is a very strange story, because it's very atypical for you, because I met you at the unfortunately late Cleve Hall's Halloween party. Cleve Hall was Monster
yes.
Man. He did props for monster movies.
Yes.
You were dressed as Harley Quinn.
Of course
I was dressed as Batman.
Sounds about right.
And yeah, and that's. If you got a Batman and a Harley Quinn at a party, they got to hang out. I mean, it's mandatory.
Absolutely.
So and then I invited you. I did a show at the Whiskey, and you came out, and
we were
friends. And then I got you on the show with a bunch of horror movie directors, and also we had a psychic as well. So we had you on there, and then you sort of, I don't know, we just.
I think I did two shows. One with Terry.
One with Terry the psychic. Terry Huberman the psychic.
And then
The horror team was
pretty incredible. That
their
film was wild.
Oh, you actually saw it?
Oh yeah. Oh, I watched it.
Oh yeah. I haven't watched it.
I couldn't hear that much about it and not.
I'm too scared to do it. Yeah, it sounded really weird. Yeah.
It's scary.
I'm
sure. Especially because it was based on
a real murder.
Real deal.
And the reenactments are uncanny.
And the reenactments are wildly.
These are our friends Matt Rosvalli, Gil Clavera, and Candace Rollins. They have two films based on the same true life crime story, The Miranda Murders and I Am Miranda.
Yes, that's right.
So that's two different films based on the footage, and apparently it's pretty crazy. So, but
I watched it.
But I know, I follow you on social media, and I know, especially during the pandemic, we checked in with each other.
For sure.
And we're always,
absolutely.
We're BFS, we're friends to the end. But,
for sure.
But I did see. I mean, I've always noticed from the beginning that you really love country music.
I do. I have forever. I've loved.
Tell me what the appeal is. Tell me what the appeal is, because
right now
I gotta be honest, I don't like it. But
it's okay for me right now. The reason I still absolutely love country music is because they still play instruments.
Oh yeah.
You go to a concert, they're still
the steel guitars.
I like pop music. I like some of the other stuff that's out there. Don't get me wrong.
Sure. Well, there's good and bad in every type of music, whether you like it or not.
But when I hear a guitar playing, or I hear somebody on the drums and they're just killing it, that is another level of something that you don't get anywhere else. And so for me, my nephew, who's just now like learning how to play guitar, he's killing it. He's amazing. He's 16. But he's like into all the 90s grunge bands right now.
Right.
Just throwing it down. It's really amazing. Yeah. But in my mind, I'm like, oh my gosh, I lived through all that.
Right.
Well, that's classic. Music, that's classic.
Right?
That's classic rock now.
So incredible. Right.
Classic rock is Nirvana, Alice in Chains, Pearl Jam. Right. That's classic, right?
I know. I'm like, I don't think
but that's, but
it's the same thing as when we listen to records from the 70s when we were growing up.
For sure.
Yeah.
I just still think it's classic rock.
It was ours.
Right. Ours.
You're wearing a Van Halen shirt and wearing a Nine Inch Nails shirt. That's classic rock.
For sure.
Yeah.
But
we're old.
I remember the day that Kurt died. That was like one of those things, you know? Ugh.
Yeah. So
it was a bummer.
I always loved the instruments and the sounds, the different, you know, feelings that I got when they would play, you know, these incredible songs. And
Do you like bro country?
I like bro country.
What is that?
You like bro country?
Okay, so now I'm embarrassed.
I don't know what that is. Like Luke Bryan.
Oh, for sure.
Jordan Lyon.
Yeah.
No. This, bro country is what I see as country now, and this is what I'm not into it, is the guys that all have, and no offense, baseball hats and the beards like George Michael. And these are the country stars now. They all have beards like George Michael.
George Michael had a beard? Oh, yeah, I guess he did.
Yeah, because they all have like so every country star has that real short crop beard and a baseball hat, not a cowboy hat. Chris Stapleton is the only country star that looks like a country star.
Amazing. He is talented beyond belief.
But, I mean,
but he does actually wear a real cowboy hat.
Like Eric Church and people like that.
Yeah, I love Eric Church.
See, country is all about getting drunk and being with a girl.
Well, I like country music has kind of always country, been about like, losing like a girl, your trash.
Bro country is the hair metal of today.
I love it. I love the lyrics. I love that hair it still tells a story. And they get it done on stage. Like, the concerts are so much fun. Yeah. I'm sober, and I think they're amazing.
Well, I've liked Luke Bryan for a long time.
Okay. Because I went to Vegas, and I heard that Morgan Wallen song like 10 times.
Okay.
And I don't like it. And
well, then what was it called?
Last Night, the big song that's like the biggest song around. I know what the song is. I also saw the video where he called his friend the N-word, so I know all about that. But I mean, like, I hear, like, every time I'm in a country bar, like, I hear like some song that just like it makes me want to vomit. I went to a country last time I was in a country bar. You haven't heard the newer. I went to a country bar and they played a song called "She's Rocking the Beer Gut." I'm like, you gotta be
okay. That is not a song that I'm familiar with.
And you
I'm
love sure Eric. And you love Eric Church. And I've bagged on this before because I had my friend Maggie Mayfield, who used to be a country DJ. The song "Springsteen" is the worst song I've ever heard.
Oh my
God,
I love that song.
All it is him. All it is him saying Bruce Springsteen titles. That's the whole song. It's like. Well,
there's a deeper message.
No, that's what he does. The whole song is like, well, it was the glory days and we were on fire and born in the USA. Springsteen. That's the whole song.
Oh my gosh.
And we were going down Thunder Road and we were born in the USA. Springsteen. That's what it is. That's the whole song. It sucks.
Do you guys agree that country and rock is kind of like
they've fused?
No, yeah.
Brad
I think
Paisley
it
even
is.
Played Hot for Teacher. At
totally.
One of the shows.
Well, no, that's
I just saw Brad Paisley live. He was a
and Brad Paisley's a great guitar player.
He's amazing.
Great guitar player, but you know it has fused because, and I'll tell you when it fused. Because Mutt Lang, the producer of Def Leppard, used to produce.
Def Leppard.
But then, I mean, you love Shania Twain because he used to produce Shania Twain.
And he was married to her.
And it was the same sound.
Why can't I like them all, though?
You can like them all.
Shania Twain's great.
Shania Twain is great. Oh, yeah.
Yes. No, you can
like Twain, I think.
Twain. No, you can like it all. It stems from when I used to live in Florida and I got. Just country music just shoved up at me, and I just never liked it. So I don't know. I that's why I was asking you what the appeal is.
So there's a few things right now that I love. I love Old Dominion. Old Dominion has great songs. They've got killer vibes, kind of vintagey.
I don't know them.
They play incredible instruments. Okay. So I would have you check out Old Dominion. I love their music. They're
good. Old Dominion,
so...
JD.
I've heard of them. I'm more of a '90s kind of country, like Diamond Rio.
Oh, great band.
Yeah,
for sure.
Oh my God, what am I doing?
But even like Brantley Gilbert. So like Brantley Gilbert, he's who you're referring
that
to.
Sounds like, that sounds like Jap.
He actually has a long beard right now.
That sounds like Chat GPT. That sounds like Chat GPT came up with a country music guy's name.
Oh, he's awesome. But anyway.
It's like, let's put this through the name generator and generate a country name.
Super handsome. But anyway, but he plays like wicked music.
All
right. Like it has an edge to it that is sort of country rock. It's this combo, and you feel it.
Well,
it's like the players are really good too. Yeah. Like they could cover anybody.
And before I get to JD, because we're really getting onto rails on country.
Sorry.
What the fuck is Jelly Roll? What is that? You don't know Jelly Roll?
I've heard of him. I don't know.
There's a guy that won all the country awards. He looks like Honey Boo Boo and Post Malone had a baby. He's like a fat Post Malone. He used to be a rapper. Now he's a country star. All the old '90s rockers are becoming country stars now. The guy from Stained, the guy from Hootie and the Blowfish—they're all country stars now.
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing too. So
well,
I don't
even
know.
Justin Timberlake played with Chris Stapleton.
So yeah, he tried. He tried. Yeah. Bon Jovi had a country album. Because, JD, I'm putting the camera back on you, and trust me, I could put the camera on Amanda all day. A lot of people, when I posted who likes country music, they're all like, I like country music, but I like all the vintage stuff. I don't like that new bro country crap. They like Johnny Cash, and they like Willie Nelson.
Not like I mean, if you like music at all, I don't know how you could not like Johnny Cash.
Well, what I was
Johnny
gonna...
Cash is just a sound of his own, and it's just timeless. And it's not a genre. It's
like metal bands, and all of them love Johnny Cash. All the metal dudes love Johnny, because he was the original rock star.
Totally.
Well, he was the original goth, let's be honest. He had the deep voice. He wore all black.
You say, you're all wearing black. I'm going to a funeral. Right. Maybe I am.
Maybe I am.
That's so metal, you know?
That's very goth, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... But so why do you do so many country a Johnny Cash song? Because it's like
I have a lower voice and it's easier to sing.
But I mean, you mix it in with original material. It's not just a Johnny Cash tribute. So why do you do that?
I think the stuff that I write is heavily influenced by him. Mm-hmm. It has that kind of rockabilly thing. And since right now I don't have a drummer at the moment,
I'm so sorry.
I like to have the crowd be the drummer.
By the way, that's your new drummer calling. Somebody wants to audition to be drunk. No, because you. I was very impressed. First off, I didn't expect you to come out with the Van Halen guitar and be such a shredder. But
I'm all over the place. Cool. I come from metal, but then I don't know. I'm just a fan of overall music. I just like it all pretty much. So it just kind of incorporates, and that's why I did 316.
Right.
You know, his song, and for Father's Day because it was written about his kid.
Right. But JD actually is on stage by himself, no band.
Okay.
And does originals and covers, and it was very good.
Awesome. This is my set list.
I wish I had been there.
It's a set list. Well, he's got other shows coming up. Okay. We'll all come down.
I did Black Crows too.
She you did?
You did?
No, I put it. On, I put that on TikTok. You did. She talks angels.
Thank you very much.
And so, now, why do you mix the covers with the originals? Why don't you just do all originals or all covers?
I don't know. It's like there's the age old thing where if you're a cover band, you just do covers, but mm-hmm. you want to kind of incorporate your own stuff.
Right.
I think it fits well with the Johnny Cash stuff because the stuff that I write is kind of the same kind of beat.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff that I write is very encouraging. You know, being a caregiver, I really love to help everybody.
Right. Do you play the Johnny Cash for your patients?
I used to go up to, I think I said it on stage, where I went up to some of their rooms where I would play for them after mm-hmm. my shift. And I'd pull the curtain back and be like, hello, I'm JD Nash. And it was just like, I think it's so funny. And just going in there playing for them, they loved it just to get out of their head mm-hmm. and out of their pain for a few mm-hmm. minutes. So.
Right. Well, JD, I don't know if you know, but Nicole has a horrible headache tonight. So to get her out of her pain and for everybody's...
This song was called Tylenol.
For everybody's amusement...
More Advil than I should have taken. I took it, you know, you're only supposed to take Advil every 8 hours. I took some at noon and then I took some more at 5. So it's just been pounding all day.
You know what? The only cure for the headache is to hear a JD Nash song.
I agree.
Can we hear a JD Nash song?
Healing rock and
it's
roll.
It's for sure.
Yeah, here's some healing rock and roll.
I was about to do caregiver and be like, Nicole, have you drank enough water today? Did you take vitamin C?
So here's JD Nash. What song are you going to be singing for us?
Man, there's so many. Would you want me to do a cover, original, Johnny Cash? What do you guys think?
Amanda, you make the
call. I say, let's hear a little Johnny Cash, but then I do want to hear a cover. Then I do want to hear an original.
We're going to start off with a Johnny Cash song, and please do not do Hurts, because that's not a Johnny Cash song. That's a Nine Inch Nails song. But what Johnny Cash song are you going to do?
I really love Folsom Prison.
That's a great one.
Let's do it.
Great song.
It's rolling around the bend. I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down to San Antonio. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. Rich folks eating in a fancy dining car, probably drinking coffee, smoking big cigars. But I know I had it coming. I know I can't be afraid. those people keep moving. And that's what tortures me. They freed me from this prison, and that railroad train was mine. Then I move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
Fantastic. Great, 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 great. And
snaps.
If that does, well, I can't clap. I have I've got the camera, but if that doesn't cure your headache, I don't know what will. Except if that didn't cure your headache, you should try Renegade CBD. Because that's our other sponsor, Renegade CBD.
I wish I had some.
You go to RenegadeCBD.com. Well, especially the bath bombs.
Oh, yes.
So if you were in a bath bomb, that would just soak you.
Melt it all away.
Couple white chocolates, couple gummies, you're all set. Go to RenegadeCBD.com and get your CBD.
Send me my samples, Charlie.
I know, we're still waiting on those. But so, Amanda, now you were, if you guys don't know, Amanda was a very successful, and still is, but not doing a full-time plus-size model.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Even though I still insist you're not plus-size.
Okay.
You're still a tweener.
All right. I am, for sure.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's...
When I started, that didn't even exist. So it sort of came out after the fact, this sort of middle zone. And I am for sure in the middle zone.
Right. Is there a name for that now?
I thought you just... Yeah.
Tweener?
I thought it was something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, tweener, yeah.
Between.
Yeah.
So I'm not standard sizing and I'm not considered... Plus size.
BBW.
So I'm sort of just somewhere. I'm a size 16.
It's a nice size. And trust me, it's a good size. It works.
It works for me.
So, but now, since you transitioned from modeling and acting, and that was, you were in finance first.
I was. 10 years in wealth management.
Mm-hmm. And then you pursued your passion of plus size modeling, became very successful and was acting. And then just since the pandemic, I guess, is that what the impetus was for the career change?
I would say that I was doing a lot of modeling. I was rocking a lot of runways. I wasn't getting compensated for a lot of the work that I was doing. So it's really hard to have, I mean, I think musicians maybe can kind of...
You're talking to three other artists, a writer, a comedian, and a musician.
It's really hard after, you know, I live about an hour from Los Angeles, so every audition I was driving, every, you know, that's a lot of gas, it's a lot of miles, it's just...
Especially these days, man, the gas prices.
I tried to attempt to do something, it was really expensive, and financially, it just got to a point where it wasn't financially... wise to keep going down that road. As much as I loved it, I feel like there's a lot of people in that industry that are not being compensated appropriately, and I just decided to kind of put my foot down and say no. I walked New York Fashion Week this last, I think it was February.
I saw that.
And so I flew myself to New York. I stayed in a hostel, paid for it myself to walk DIY. I love it. I'm really good at it. It's it's a great adrenaline rush to be on the runway. I really do absolutely adore it, but I wouldn't do it again unless I was being well compensated for it.
Because the hostel was not glamorous, I would imagine.
The hostel was about as big as this room.
I'm sure.
Actually, might have been smaller. It had a locker. It worked great, though. It was fine. It had a little...
No, when I go to New York,
had a sink in the room and a bathroom right outside the door. It was absolutely perfect. It was like $50 a night.
Like a studio.
It was a studio. It was perfect.
Last couple
for
times
what
I went to
yeah,
last couple times I went to New York, I don't know. I think you had a little more space than I did.
Maybe.
I stayed someplace in Chinatown, and it was like
I went to Chinatown.
It was literally like
went to Chinatown.
8 feet by 6 feet.
Yeah.
Like little rooms.
Yeah.
And then they had a communal shower, and it was like it was like $40 a night, but that's what I could afford.
Me too.
Because we're all starving artists.
Totally.
So you went into the lucrative career of promoting country festivals.
Well,
how did that happen?
It was a little bit of an accident. When I got sober 8 years ago, I found my way back to music, which had always kind of been a huge part of my life when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And when I went into wealth management, I was busy all the time. I was working all the time. I wasn't going to concerts. I wasn't listening to music in my house. It was, you know, kind of just get in the car to work and back. And then I ate dinner and I went to work again. It was just sort of this vicious cycle.
You realize you could have listened to music in the car on the way to work?
No, I did. But that was it. That's all I got. Okay. Like I got, you know, and I would try to watch it at work. And it's kind of hard to do when you're that level of
occupation. No, I understand. You have to concentrate.
And so anyway, I just wasn't connected to it the way that I had wanted to be. And so when I got sober, one of the first things that I did when I was getting sober is I went to I saw Slash play at the Troubadour.
Right.
Yeah. Nice.
Eight years ago, I'm guessing. So I wasn't all the way sober. I was really, really, really close. I was as close to that as I had ever been.
You were closer than Slash.
Hmm?
You were closer than Slash.
Maybe. I don't know his story.
I would assume.
Yeah. Anyway, so that kind of kicked it off. Then I went into recovery, like mm-hmm. a couple weeks later, because I realized I was almost off of the medication. I was still on a little bit of methadone, but I was almost off of the little bit of methadone, but I needed some counseling.
Oh, I didn't know it was that deep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was on pretty serious prescription medication as well as drinking way too much alcohol. But it was like literally almost as close as I had ever been in probably 8 years of being off, but I wasn't all the way. I still had a little tiny bit to get me through it, so I wasn't so sick. And I wanted to get to the next phase, so I needed to go into a program to do the head part and the heart part and heal the trauma that caused it all, you know, that sort of triggered it all in the first place.
It works if you work it and you're
and
worth it.
And music became my lifeline.
That's great.
So I did this after Slash. I kind of connected with that, and I thought, you know, I got to keep doing this if I'm going to stay sober. I got to have something to be looking forward to. And music does something to my mind. It just it energizes it in a way that nothing else does. It gives me the endorphins. It gives me the serotonin release. Like it's better than drugs for me.
Music is one of the most interesting things we were able to create as the human race.
Yeah, it's like, fabulous.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, all of it.
But you never aspired to be a musician. Or did you?
I never gave myself that much credit that I would know. I can't sing. I don't have a singing voice. And I was an athlete. I was a Division
I
athlete.
Well, we can test that later.
No,
JD will play guitar and we can...
But the second
we'll
concert
play some
I
Shania Twain.
To
we'll figure,
when I was sober was Jason Aldean.
Okay.
And so it was Florida Georgia Line and Jason Aldean. And I had invited somebody, they couldn't go, and I grabbed my mom. I'm like, can you be ready in half an hour? I'm picking you up. We're going to Irvine Spectrum, and we're going to see a country, you know, country
that's
concert.
A long drive from Camarillo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that started it. And then I went to, I'm probably 100. I've probably seen 100 plus people perform since then.
Well, I'm not.
Whether it's a festival and there's like 20 people or whatever.
Right.
And then I moved into, I thought, well, these tickets are kind of expensive and I have a presence on social media. So let me reach out to them and see if they would like some promotion, whether before. Sure. You know, to say, hey, we're doing this event during, because I'm really great at capturing content during in the moment.
Okay.
And then I do kind of an after reel of here's how our day went, here's who performed, and their best moment, if you will. And it's been really successful. It's been really fun and really successful. And I've been able to give back to a lot of my family and friends that supported me through recovery, through VIP tickets or whatever. And
that's awesome.
So the whole circle feels pretty darn good.
No, that's great. Yeah. I'm not going to bag on country music anymore. That sounds. It helped you.
Saved my life.
You broke it.
It literally saved my life.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Because last time I talked to you, you said that modeling saved your life, and now you're saying country music saved your life.
But it was a combo, and I think the music. So I had to wake up. Okay, when I first got sober, I moved to my mom's house in Camarillo, but I still worked in Santa Barbara, and I would drive at 5 o'clock in the morning from Camarillo to Santa Barbara to get to work in time because there was traffic was so bad.
And I put on Guns N' Roses,
their greatest hit. And I would Welcome to the Jungle my way to work because I would be in withdrawals and I would just, it was so uncomfortable and so sick.
So you got off drugs by listening to the band that's done the most drugs ever.
Absolutely. And heavy metal with the whiskey. Like, I don't know, but that's where my brain, I couldn't listen to anything slow. I couldn't listen to anything that had any kind of like soft lyrics because my brain was so raw. Your receptors are just completely, the receptors are so messed up in your brain after using opiates. And so anything, I would have just been like bawling my eyes out. So I went straight Guns N' Roses for a good 6 months, and just it was like as loud as it could go.
Right.
Everybody in the neighborhood also woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning because that's what time I left the neighborhood listening to Guns N' Roses, starting with
How did you
Welcome
get
to the Jungle.
Introduced to opiates? Was there like an injury or something?
No,
you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
I'm okay. A long time ago, OxyContin had sort of just come out on the market, and they were back then. They had a formula where you could take the coating off, and I had a friend who ended up being my husband. But at that point, we were dating, and he had had an injury. He had been in a really bad car accident, and he got prescribed 80 milligram OxyContin, and figured out what you could kind of do with it, and that was sort of the first time I had tried an opiate. Wow. I didn't even really do Vicodin. I just went straight to...
So,
but we were in the Cayman Islands, and I decided I was going to just try it for while we were there. We were there like 7 or 8 days. I always say 10, but I think it was actually 7 or 8. I was just going to do it while we were
like
on...
It felt like
10. I was just going to do it while I was on vacation. And that was probably 2003. And it wasn't until 2014 that I actually got off it for good.
Right. Well, I'm glad you did.
Me too.
And it's been almost 9 years now.
Almost nine. It'll be 9 in October.
And so. The 2023 Amanda, looking back on the 2014 Amanda, could you believe you got this far?
No. I'm surprised I'm alive.
Yeah.
I almost overdosed, almost had a congestive heart failure one time because we ended up on fentanyl. We went from...
Well, I'm glad you're here, JD, because you are a medical professional, just in case.
Yeah, so it went from bad to way worse. And so getting from there to 8 years sober here is kind of a miracle. Not kind of a miracle. It's a miracle.
And
there are a lot of people that helped me get to here. It's not just been my own efforts, but it's a lot of want it really
badly. But it ultimately is your own efforts.
It totally is. Yeah.
Because
you can't do it
help
if you don't want it. Nobody will.
That's the thing.
And I did. I wanted it more than anything else I'd ever wanted in my life. I wanted
And now things are amazing. You've got a whole online following.
Totally.
The OnlyFans didn't really work out, but
well, that's probably for the best.
Yeah.
For my family.
Yeah. I was gonna, well, how did your family react when that happened?
I don't think all of them knew, but thanks for sharing.
Yes, hello, family. I was if they went on your Instagram page, they saw that you were doing. It was the pandemic, so I mean, you had to make money.
I had no choice. I mean, I was struggling financially.
But trust me, you had to see my OnlyFans.
Big time.
It was horrible.
I tried feet. Just kidding.
Well, everybody starts with feet. They're like, I'll just do the feet.
I'll just do the high heels. It's literally no big deal. And I had people asking me for shoe stuff all the time anyway. I'm like, why not? Let's do it. Not a good decision.
Guys are into feet.
I guess.
They love that feed. It's so weird. Are you into feet, JD? I like when...
Put him on the spot.
I haven't tattooed, but that's...
Yeah, we'll get to that. But yeah, I like when women have feet. I'm not into the Captain Hook look, but I don't know what they...
Friend Twisted, she always is posting about this foot night, and I think it's so funny that they provide snacks.
Right? Yes.
If you want alcohol, you have to bring your own, but snacks and sodas are provided. So
of course.
I think it says something like intimate and discreet.
Yes. Because you know
like
when
your feet.
Yeah, when you're when you're staring at feet, you want some Cheetos. So
I'm
glad they got snacks.
Snacks.
Yes,
snacks.
Yes.
Gross.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, now I get it. I'm blonde over here a little bit.
No, it's that's all right.
It.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we need another
point. No, but here's the Nicole. As you know, I do the worst segues ever. From feet and Cheetos. JD, do you have another song for us?
I'll have to make one up about Cheetos and feet right now.
Well, I think we're inspiring
you. Original.
Original song.
Right?
Please, I have to insist.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I'll do one called Community that I played last night because, if I can say really quick,
please.
I've noticed that, you know, everybody in the musicians, industry, what's the secret to be successful? Mm-hmm. And I should have learned a long time, just be genuine with all of us and just help other bands. And I've been going on Instagram, I don't know if you guys saw, but just going on the stories and say, have a good gig. Oh, I like your guitar. Just be authentic and genuine and just compliment them. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my God, I cannot believe that. Thank you so much. And then I post a little thing that says we should all help each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I think life is too short for drama. Life is too short for competition. and we can all coexist playing different bands.
Right. So don't be competitive, be supportive.
Right, yeah.
There's room for everybody.
Yeah, and just, you know, and the numbers have gone up, but because I'm really helping everybody else, and it's completely genuine and just wanting to have some sort of a community. So
cool.
Yeah.
But it's also, it's good networking.
Yeah, and then I named the song Community.
So okay. So here we are, Community. My favorite part of the song, I like that. But no, that was great. We love that. We love that.
The headache part.
No. That was great. You articulate a lot of things we talk about every day about, you know, it's not high school and everybody, it's not a reality show, even though it kind of is becoming that, yeah. Because everybody's a TikTok star, everybody's a narcissist, everybody thinks they're, you know, unlike us who did the work, everybody thinks they're a star, everybody thinks they're a model, everybody thinks they're a rock star, everybody thinks they're a comedian, but
I used to have a line in it where I said, save the drama for your mama, because I really don't want to know. But I thought it was too silly, so I took it out.
Well, JD's a sexy guy, wouldn't you say, man?
For sure.
If you want to get sexy like JD, let me tell you how you do it. Get Tactical Soap. That is another one of our sponsors. We are sponsored by Tactical, Tactical Soap.
What do I have to get?
No, Tactical Soap. This is soap, pheromone-infused soap for men.
I think that sounds fantastic.
No. I mean, there's nothing sexier than a great-smelling man.
Jamar, you were telling me you didn't know what to get your dad for Father's Day, and I think
I should have gotten some Tactical Soap.
Why didn't you get that?
No, I get my dad body wash all the time. He never uses it. Okay. And he gets like the 99-cent store stuff, and that's what he uses. Trust me, he's got... I went to his shower. He's got like 10 things of body wash he never uses that he got. But my dad's a sexy guy. He doesn't need pheromone infused soap.
Well, if you were looking for a belated Father's Day present.
I'll get my father some Tactical Soap. There you go. Because there's three types. There's Maverick, Durden, and Bond.
Yes.
And I think for fathers, Bond is the way to go.
I recognize all those.
I know. I'm like.
Tyler Durden.
Totally. Tyler Durden, I'm like, Maverick, they have a Tom Durden Cruise, from James Mike Bubb.
Yeah. Yes. And they have three different variations of that.
And what is in that soap exactly?
Lotions, pheromones. No, it'll go
was
crazy.
It from the dumpster?
It's called Tactical Soap. So use the
you know
link.
What I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about? Fight Club.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
No, you can't talk about Tactical Soap, but you can get that in the link in our show description.
It's
so
amazing.
Yeah,
and anything with the pheromone combo is pretty cool.
Yeah. Do you respond to pheromones?
I would imagine so.
Yeah, it's hard to say because if somebody's attracted to you,
soap first.
Right.
If somebody's attracted to you, they're emitting pheromones anyway. Right? So, but if you get Tactical Soap, you get
more
pheromones.
But I think there's other environmental things that kind of get in the way. So if you can step up your own pheromones and find your right person.
Right. So, and speaking of that, now I know I've asked you this before because I've asked you out, but what? And take a wild guess what happened. But what do you like in a man? I mean, besides Tactical Soap, what kind of a man do you like? Because obviously you went for the bad boy in your youth, and that didn't work out. So
not
what do you like now?
Choice. No, rest in peace. I would say right now I'm looking for somebody who is sort of on the same level when it comes to trying to be a positive person, trying to be a good human.
Right. Because I know when you were on with Terry, you had her give you your love reading because there was somebody you had a crush on, and I don't know if that worked out.
It did not.
Yeah.
Like not even.
Yeah.
Not even.
And I think she predicted that.
But he was a big influence in why I wanted to get sober in the first place. So we'll take it. I'll always be grateful to him.
Was he like your sponsor?
No.
Because that's not good.
An encourager of sobriety.
You can't do that. You can't date the sponsor.
I went a little bit different road. I went through a recovery program in Santa Barbara, very specific, very much about boundaries and
learning how to be sober
in non-sober environments. Yeah. Things that maybe they don't teach.
They have to be sober, though. A man has to be sober.
Huh?
Like a whiskey.
Yes, learning how to be in the environments I want to be in.
Yeah, how did you do that? How did you that's a better question than what I'm fishing for. How did you become
I'll come back to it though
cuz I don't think we're going to have time honestly.
How did you, cuz
I know that's a challenge to be in an environment where there's alcohol. I tell a story. I used to hang out with Matthew Roberts, who claimed to be Charles Manson's son. These are my friends. And and he got out of rehab. And he was hanging out with me at a bar, and I wasn't drinking that night because I was driving. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't leave me alone because I was like the only one that was sober, and I was hanging out and talking to him. And he just wanted to shadow me to see how I did it, like how I had fun but not be sober.
Yeah.
Because I don't drink a lot, once in a while, but nothing. Yeah.
Well, for me, it was very, I went into the recovery. So music, let's go back to music. Music was my heart and soul, and I needed to be in the environments where there was music. Well, most of the time when you're in an environment with music, you're going to be in an environment of drugs and alcohol, bottom line.
Yeah.
So I went into my recovery. So my counselor or my therapist had found out that I had gone to a bar, probably from my mom.
Yeah.
But didn't drink. I just went in and I enjoyed the music, and they were concerned. They said, you know, we're worried that you're putting yourself in – you know, an environment that's going to cause you to maybe have a slip or a relapse. And I said, you know, if you can't teach me how to be in these environments sober, I won't stay in the program. I need to learn how to have fun without altering substances so that I can do all of the things that I love in this life. everywhere I love to go has alcohol. You go to the lake where there's sunshine and beautifulness, there's alcohol. You go to the beach, there's going to be Corona. There's alcohol everywhere. So
besides that, you know the specific brand of beer.
I know. Corona. Think Kenny Chesney. No.
Family.
But
I was thinking Andy Samberg. Oh. That's okay. It's Snoop Dogg.
But anyway, I told them. And so I started out places where they had non-alcoholic beer, and I would have 10. In a night, I would have as many non-alcoholic beers as I had to have to stay there,
is that
and
how you listen do it?
To music and be sober.
Yeah.
And then later, I kind of got, I was never a full-on beer drinker. That wasn't really my choice when I was a drinker. I was a champagne drinker. but non-alcoholic beer was my only option. I then switched to sugar-free Red Bull and kind of did a balance between the two. So I would have the sugar-free Red Bull at the beginning. It would allow me to sort of dance and do all the things that I love. And then I'd have a few non-alcoholic beers to kind of close out the night. And as that progressed, I realized I became so comfortable with who I was as a person, and I learned how to have fun on my own and be the best version of me. I didn't really even need the.
Did you ever have an aha moment where it's like, all right, I don't need anything. I don't even need non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah, because I did use nicotine for quite a few years after, because I felt like I still needed something. And there was just a moment where my nephew, who I love dearly, who I was talking about earlier, was at our house for Christmas, and I was hiding around the corner. I was sober for the most everything except for nicotine. And I was like hiding around the corner because I had to have my go smoke a cigarette. I thought, this isn't who I want to be. This isn't. I've gotten so close. I'm like 95% of the way there being this who I want to be. I want to be the best version of me, and this is not part of it. And so that was the day I just quit it all and was like, I'm done. I don't want to have a crutch. I don't want to have something I have to rely on that is anything other
anymore.
Than love or anything like that. And
it's
I didn't want to.
Right?
It's so expensive. Yeah. And it was smells. I mean, it's not like it was kind of, I wasn't ever a person that vaped. So it was literally back in the old days when it was an actual cigarette, which is disgusting in and of itself. But, but I did. It was just who, you know.
And this was pre-liquid.
Part of my struggle.
This was pre-liquid death water because I was at a.
I love that stuff, actually.
Yeah, because it looks like a beer. And yeah.
And it's kind of hardcore. It's kind of like.
It's kind of punk and kind of. Yeah,
I do. And now it has kind of a weird. People are having an issue with the title, but whatever. I'm just happy to have another option.
Yeah, no, because I was at a comedy show, and I don't drink before I go on stage because it messes with my timing. Sure. So I had liquid death, and a guy came up to me. He's like, he was like, are you, in the program? I'm like, no, I just don't drink before I go on stage.
It's kind of nice to have an edgy option.
Yeah, because he wanted to do like my other friend, like I wanted to, I wanted to do the sober hang, and I'm like, well, you can, but I'm not, I drink once a while.
The other cool thing is some of the non-alcoholic beer is like 0.05, right? So there is like this trace amount of alcohol in it.
Right.
But Heineken just came up with a 0.0 across the board. It's alcohol free.
Right.
So I really appreciate that. They actually just sent me, and they kind of come in these cool cans and. Right.
They sent you free beer. We could all appreciate that.
They sent me 6 free beers.
Right. But,
I'm just always grateful when there's sort of another tool that people can use in their toolbox.
So it's a gradual thing, but you got there.
I got there.
You got there. And speaking of obsessions, now, we got to talk about your tattoos before we get out of here.
Okay.
Now, you like the Ninja Turtles, Amanda?
Yes.
Well, you're going to love this guy.
Think about when I grew up. How could you
Think about when we all grew up. Look at that.
So
now, what are you showing her? Now, come on. We're on radio.
It's a Donatello head on my
It's a Donatello head. And now, we were talking about the tattoos in the hall. And you said the feet were the most painful in the ribs.
Ooh.
Yeah, I have a treble clef and a bass clef on either side of my ribs. And they're not even finished because the guy didn't know what he was doing at first, where he used a liner as a shader, which I'm sure Nicole having tattoos. Ouch. Right?
Nicole has no idea what you're talking about.
No. My tattoos were not painful, really.
And she doesn't have a lot of tattoos. She's got a few.
I only have the arm.
Yeah.
But I mean, what they line it with, they're not supposed to shade it with because it's only one needle, and the shaders are a bunch of little tiny ones.
Okay.
So he was using one big one to shade. It's really painful.
Oh, okay. I get what you're saying. Ooh.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have been painful if he did it the correct way, but he...
Yeah, and it's like...
So you...
They were free, though, at the point, so...
Well, yeah, carriers can't be choosers.
I traded my back piece, the Ninja Turtle back piece. I traded my massage table for free tattoos for a while, and after a while, he's like, okay, you're done.
Yeah.
Your credit is done.
Oh, wow, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's
so do you have more than the one... You said something on your back. You have more than the one turtle?
Yeah, I have Donatello versus Shredder, and I guess you could call it Ninja Turtle Tramp Stamp. I have the logo.
You have a Ninja Turtle Tramp Stamp.
We should have to see that.
I was trying to get. That's why I'm trying to get him. Come on, JD, show everybody. We gotta get this on camera.
Radio is a visual media.
No, but this is gonna be on YouTube as well. But I see the musical note on the side of your neck.
And then AFI.
AFI. Okay. Yeah. There you go. And let's see. Here we go. Okay. Oh, whoa. Oh, you're right about that. Look at that.
It's kind of fake.
Jeez.
Wow.
Man, oh, man. It's.
Dude.
And then actually, it kind of looks like the original comic book.
Johnny from The Shining.
Nice.
And drug-free on your stomach.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So you had
straight edge back in the day.
Nice.
All the hardcore scene, all that stuff.
So when you were a teenager and you were straight edge. And then you got to Hollywood, and that went away.
Before I came here, we were all drinking and doing Jaeger bombs and stuff in Arizona. And then,
as you do in Arizona,
it kind of got played out. And all my friends, I don't know, drinking back in the day, they would basically take their paycheck to the bartender.
Yeah, just here you go.
Like, there's your tab. So yeah. It got old, and like I was telling you guys, I'm not much of a big drinker, and I can't really handle my alcohol. So I was right. this isn't
working for me.
After a while, it just kind of like, it's not the right path.
Right.
So
I try to tell my nephew that you can buy a lot of guitar pedals if you're not spending your money on it.
Right, yeah.
There's a lot of guitar equipment you can
buy.
But the thing is, and you know, if you're hanging out with musicians, you're hanging out with comedians.
Yeah.
You're going to be hanging out with a lot of people that are drinking heavily and doing drugs heavily.
I'm cool just...
I mean, it's cool, water. But...
I mean, like, that's their thing. But I know that, like, I used to play at a wine bar called Rosenthal on PCH in Malibu. And
cool.
When you go there, they offer you a free glass of wine. Cool. Like, oh, you want to wine before you drink? And I say, you want me to forget the words?
You want me to play correctly?
Because I don't drink, if I have a little bit, it'll be way too much for me.
That's the same way thing with me. I drink like Shirley Temples when I go do comedy,
really?
And people make fun of me. But if I have a beer, even if I have one drink, it affects the timing just ever so slightly.
Even with coffee, I stopped drinking coffee for a while, and I had a little bit the other day, and I'm like, oh my God.
Right.
So jittery.
Right. So. That's why you need to drink Ray's energy drink. Well, JD, you got your guitar slinging. I think you want to play one more song, and we definitely want to encourage that.
I'm comfortable holding it. I don't know.
Yeah, is that? Are you always like always have your guitar with you?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've fallen asleep and woken up, and the amp's still on, and it's on my lap, and I'm like, oh.
We had Aaron Rossi from Ministry on, and he said that.
Sure.
John 5, he did a thing with him.
Yeah.
And he said that he plays in the bathroom. Like when he goes to the toilet, he plays. Do you do that?
Happened, but it's I guess when the curiosity or creativity or the song, the muse strikes you, I suppose.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Because he's always practicing. That's what he said. Yeah. He's like, I got to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. I'll grab his guitar and you hear him playing in the bathroom.
When I got the whiskey gig, I wanted to do I didn't have it happen. Like you were there and you saw I was just, started playing on stage. But the stairs that go up to the top floor.
Right.
I thought it'd be fun to have somebody introduce me. And then you just hear the whammy bar going off in the background.
Right.
And I start walking down. But I think I would have had a rock star moment with Mark Wahlberg where he falls down the stairs.
Right.
And so I'm like, I'll just start playing. But for the gig, I wanted to really show the little shredding thing and give everything I am on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So I practiced all my scales that I refused to do back as a teenager. I just wanted to learn Green Day or Glycerine in the 90s.
Yeah, it's funny because I took guitar lessons when I was a teenager.
Okay.
And I
just make you do scales? That's what they
No. They were like, what song do you want to learn? I was like, I kind of want to learn Mean Street by Van Halen. They're like, no. But I figured out like Smoking Water and a few other basic stuff. I had a Strat. So basically all I did was just do the whammy bar dives. That's all basically did. And it's hard because I know a lot of guitar players don't have whammy bars. It's hard.
Knock it out of tune. That's why you get a locking nut and a Floyd Rose.
Right. But I mean, you got to resist the temptation of just like, like the whole time.
Yeah. But then you go play a chord and you're like, oh crap, I just embarrassed myself.
Right.
The G string always falls down.
Right. So, would you play another song? We want to hear another song. Come on, JD.
Let's see.
And I would prefer an original, but you can play whatever you want.
Well, it kind of goes into what you were saying about you know, the whole sober thing. I have a song called No Regrets, which kind of tells the story of going through all that.
Totally.
Let's hear
that. Love it.
Hopefully I won't go
So basically, we talked to Amanda, and you played a bunch of songs related to what we're talking about. It's great.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's meant to be, you guys.
Yes. Right? Well, these shows sometimes are serendipitous.
Yeah. Well, cosmically.
How's your hand, Nicole?
Are
you okay?
I'm fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah, this will help. Because I got to hold, I got to hold the camera. You're holding your phone, so yeah, we loved it. And it, no regrets on this show. This turned out so great.
Yeah, no kidding.
We didn't even have to. There you go. So, you're smiling. Your headache seems to be fading. But you know, like I said, sometimes it's serendipitous. We get the right combination.
Absolutely,
we sure did tonight, and we didn't have to get into the other two JD Nashes that are doing music, or the other Alabama Valentine, who apparently is a little her OnlyFans is a little saucier than yours. But JD, and it went by so fast.
It did.
JD, I know, and I hope Amanda books you at some festivals. You can play a country festival, right? You can.
I don't do bookings yet.
Okay, but you can do some.
But when you do your next show, I can come and promote.
You can do recommendations. So when will that be? When is your next show?
I got asked to play Whiskey in August 19th. So that's already booked.
Okay,
I'm playing Universal Bar and Grill on June 30th. So that's the next one.
All right.
And there's an open mic in Van Nuys called the Barrel Tavern.
Oh no! Don't go to that one. No. I'm just an artist. No, then go to that one. I'm just talking about. I've done open mic comedy at the Barrel. That's not good.
Gotcha.
But no, I'm kidding. No, I go to the Barrel. No, if you're a feature artist, then that'll be good. I'm kidding about the Barrel. Last time I did it, I did a roast and it was really bad.
Oh, okay.
They physically kicked out a patron.
Really?
And I said that because we were roasting a comedian, and I said that's the first time somebody's tried to stay at one of his shows. So it was one of those things. but no, I'm kidding. When are you playing the Barrel? I'm kidding about the Barrel. Yeah. I like the Barrel.
August 8th.
Yeah. I like the Barrel. I like the bar. Mm-hmm. And I like how they remodeled it.
Sure.
But I'm just telling you, back in the day,
the stage is right by the door. Did it used to
now,
be
now? No. It used to be a different place. Oh, yeah. Okay. So it's when it was at the other place, it was pretty rough. But now it's pretty good. So I'm kidding.
I used to play a lot of open mics at Sunset Grill when I first came out here, right up by Guitar Center. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And there's a place in North Hollywood called Kulak's Woodshed.
Sure.
You know that?
Yeah.
And then a Guitar Merchant, which was a guitar store in Canoga Park where they had a whole open mic in the back. And I used to play with a lot of comedians where it'd be at Sunset Grill, be comedian, musician.
Yeah. Well,
so I used to hang out with all the type of guys.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So if anybody wants to listen to your music, listen to what you got going on, what's the best place to people to find you?
I'm always doing Instagram stories, which is JD Nash Rocks, all one word, R-O-C-K-S. And then I'm on Spotify now, but everything's connected, but mostly Instagram.
And check which JD Nash on Spotify you're going to, because there's a few.
I'm the one with all the tattoos.
Right. There you go. So JD Nash Rocks on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And please, I'm sorry, The Barrel. Go check him out at the barrel. Check him out at Universal Bar and Grill, but also check him out at the Whiskey. And I know you love the Whiskey. We're going to the Whiskey show in August. We're going to the Whiskey. We're all going to go to the Whiskey.
Middle show.
Yes.
We'll be there.
Yes. And
what day of the week is it? Do you have any idea?
It's a few months away.
We'll figure it out. That would be perfect. Yeah.
Sometime between Monday and Friday.
August 19th.
August 19th.
Okay.
Go to JD Nash Rocks on Instagram. And Amanda,
yes.
People want to see you and see what you got going on, because you live the lifestyle.
I do.
And see all the great concerts you're helping to set up and all the modeling that you're doing, and you're on TikTok. You got all the stuff.
Not as much on TikTok anymore,
right?
But okay.
But you're always doing reels. You're always doing stuff.
I do a lot of reels.
Right. So how do people get a hold of you?
Amanda Christine 777.
Right.
CHRIST.
Are there 776 other Amanda Christines?
Almost.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
No, I was born on July of 1977.
Oh wow.
So 777 where that comes from. Right. But I've always liked, you know, I'm a numbers person. So
yeah, it beats,
I love the number 4. Mm-hmm. My maiden name was Spoor, and so it was Amanda Spoor, number 4. I mean, everybody called me Spoor, even though that wasn't how you pronounce it. It was Amanda Spoor, number 4. But
it beats being born.
It's always
on,
been a number thing.
Beats being born on June 6th, 1966.
Well, is that when you were born? No, that would be too old. My mom tried to go. She was very pregnant. I was very. My mom's 5'4", and I am 5'10".
Yeah, how'd that happen?
It's another podcast.
Right. Well, you'll definitely be real. We don't have time.
Not that. Yeah, that's another Oprah. But anyway, she tried to go for a mini jog on 7/7/77, so I could be born on that day. And
there you go.
Wasn't ready.
There you go.
I had some growing to still do.
Apparently. Well,
so 7/15.
More proof that jogging is good for you.
That's right.
Amanda, JD, this has been so
great.
Thanks
so much.
Thank you, guys.
And you know,
so good.
And you know, you should. By the way, I didn't know if you were aware, but Nicole was featured in Weird Tales magazine.
Go, Nicole! Thank you.
Woo!
Yeah.
What's your Instagram?
I'm Nicole6Books at Instagram and Nicole H6 on Facebook. And I have to say this because it is Pride Month. If you have a problem with queer people, just stay away because I'm a little queer.
Yes, I think we can all agree on that.
Of course.
But you were publishing Weird Tales and your poetry book, Slow Burn. Yes. And if you don't like gays, then do not follow any of us because you are a hateful person and we're all about love. But I'm Goth Comedian on all social media. This has been a blast. Everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.